Welcome to the Kinky Cast, a sexually explicit podcast for adults. You are listening to a weekly publication, produced every Friday morning. This is our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Today, we present episode 397. Miss Vi, she is more poly than you. Don't forget to stop by our webpage for information about this show and others. KinkyCast.com. Here's your host, Woody.
Thanks, Max, and welcome to another edition of the Kinky Cast. Online with me from Boise, Idaho is Miss Vi. How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty great. And what about yourself?
I am feeling pretty darn good today. First off, I found somebody that's even more poly than me. That would be you.
Well, yeah, I've got a little bit of experience.
So how much experience in poly do you have?
Well, I want to preface by saying I was non-monogamous when I was 16, unethically non-monogamous until I found polyamory at 18.
And then 2 whole years. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't know what it was. And then I joined FetLife when I was 18 and then found out what polyamory was, and it was a whole new way to love people.
Very cool. And you had some also experience when you were younger also.
Yes, because I would have two boyfriends. They wouldn't know about it, but I loved both of them. And I was like, why can't I have two boyfriends? I didn't understand why I couldn't have more than one lover. And it just didn't make sense to me growing up.
Yeah, interesting. But you had some parental influence also.
Absolutely. My dad is probably the kinkiest, most non-monogamous person I know. And at one point, he had 6 girlfriends and 1 fiance, and I couldn't tell any of them about each other. But good news, he later become ethically non-monogamous. Same with my mom. So non-monogamy is pretty much all I've ever known.
Well, it's good to know that everybody is getting ethically non-monogamous here, because it takes the pressure off of things.
Yes, and you can live more openly and express your love more.
How open to the rest of the world outside your family are you?
My friends, my family, pretty much everyone besides work knows that I'm polyamorous. That's one of the things I like to tell people up front about.
Yeah, work probably doesn't need to know about it.
Yeah. So, but yeah, all my friends know, my family knows, grandma knows. It's all, yeah, everyone knows.
So when you turned 18, you said you discovered FetLife and kind of opened up a new world for you?
Yeah, I caught my boyfriend on FetLife. I was like, what's that? And then it just kind of opened my world up to all the possible kinks and what polyamory was. And I feel like it was a very educational experience for me.
Educational. Interesting. Yeah. FetLife as an education. Sounds pretty good. And so you learn to develop kinks and bolster your relationships?
Yes, I learned that I was a sadist, and I also fostered polyamory in my relationships. Like I said, I tell people the first thing, if you want to date me, I'm polyamorous. And so that cuts out a lot of heartbreak later, if you just say it up front, in my opinion.
And there's 3 things you tell people up front.
Yes, I tell them that I am polyamorous, I am pagan, and I am queer. And those are things that are not going to change about me that you need to know.
And as a little footnote, probably kinky as hell.
Yeah, I mean, depends on the person. But yeah, I'm also kinky. That's not going to change.
All right. Yes. When you started on FetLife, you started developing some of your kinks. What are your kinks?
My kinks have blossomed. I've kind of discovered that I was a sadist first, and then I am a switch. So I am a sadist, but I am also a bottom for the right energy. And I'm a baby girl, currently baby girl, currently mommy. And I'm a top, and I'm definitely not submissive, but I'm a lot of other things.
You're a baby girl and a mommy. Interesting.
Yeah, it's a. I love this dynamic because it's like if I'm feeling baby girlish, I go to my daddy, and then if my boy needs me, I'm his mommy. It's a beautiful thing to be me. I feel like I love the energy and the experiences I have.
You can kind of dial in whatever you want that day.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like I'm a switch. I change my moods. I happen to be pansexual. I can't make up my mind. Whatever goes, I'm down for anything and everything.
It makes it so much easier to go with the flow that way.
Yeah, I have. It's easier when I don't really have restrictions.
Mm-hmm. You know, so some people are very rigid. This person's a top. This person's a bottom. That's the way it is. We make it happen.
Yeah,
it's nice just to be a little ethereal about things.
Yeah, I like to be flexible, and it really just depends on the person's energy. For example, I was never really a bottom until I met my daddy, and he had the right energy, and I could trust him. But, you know, for other people, I'm their top because they have that that bottom energy that I feed into where I'm their top. So, yeah.
Some of your siblings are also rather kinky or poly.
Yeah, actually, when I was 18, I was found out by my sister on FetLife. I have two sisters that are polyamorous, and one for sure I know is on FetLife and kinky. It's a one big old kinky polyamorous family.
Yeah, and one of your sisters lived in a commune?
Yeah, they call it a pod, and it was four families, and it was like 16 people because they had kids, and they did that for about 2 years, and then for whatever reasons, they dispersed, and they're still polyamorous and in relationships with each other and things like that. But yeah, that happened.
You know, and within polyamory, there's, you know, a couple ways of living that's with everybody or singly and moving between them, whichever dynamic works for all your partners and yourself.
Yes, I currently live with my partner, and we accommodate my polyamory and his polyamory by giving my own bedroom. So if I want to have partners over, I can have them in my bedroom versus, and he can have them in his bedroom. It just makes things a lot easier in our polyamorous life.
That kind of follows the Mormon tradition of separate bedrooms.
I did not know that.
It does. Each member of the household has a bedroom, and typically they would go to the man's bedroom and spend their night, their prescribed night of the week.
Ah, okay, I see.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's kind of like a neat and tidy way of doing things as opposed to, oh, well, you know, somebody else was sleeping in this bed. Oh, you know, that sort of thing.
How people yeah. It also like saves money on hotels and trying to find a place to go when your partner has a partner over. And we're pretty friendly to each other's metas. And so if my partner wanted to spend the night with me in my bedroom, that's fine. If his partner wants to spend the night in his bedroom, that's fine. You know, we're pretty friendly with our metas.
Do your collective partners know each other?
Some of them do, some of them don't. A lot of them know each other just from our Boise community that we have and meeting each other at parties and things like that. So, but I would say a lot of our exes, at least his exes are friends with me, so we all hang out, even though we're no longer technically metas.
I find that to keep harmony in a household, it's good that my partners know each other and they can talk to each other if they want, call each other. However, it takes the pressure off of me that way.
I think that that's a really good way. I've had that kind of dynamic before. I think I'm open if his partners want to get to know me. That's not an issue. But we also don't try to force things because you can't force a friendship. And so that's just not something that we force.
Very true. Very true. How do you see your relationships evolving in the future?
Well, I got a little poly-happy recently, and I'm putting a break on dating new people right now just because I'm polysaturated and I have a lot going on. So I have a daddy, I have a boy, and I have a girlfriend, and those keep my hands full. So that's my poly dating.
It certainly does. And I have my hands full too. I've got three girls that keep me very happy, and I don't have time to entertain anyone else.
Yeah, I have a lot of things that I need to do, and I was just stretching myself out then by trying to date like a million people, and now when people ask me for dates, I was like, yeah, as friends.
Yeah, so. You know, I'll have dinner with anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to hang out.
Mm-hmm. I always find it interesting, the neighbors, when they see the different cars coming into the driveway at different days and spending the nights.
Yeah, I know. I've always wondered. I was like, I wonder what the neighbors think. So I don't know if they've ever thought of something. They haven't came to us and talked to us about it.
You see all those cartoons. It looks like a revolving door at the front door. You know, it's.
Yeah, I was thinking that because my partner, he's kind of a slut. And he'll have somebody over every day of every week, pretty much. And I was like, yeah, I wonder what they say.
Hey, you know, us sluts got to stick together, you know.
Hey, nothing wrong with the slut. They know how to have fun.
Exactly. And, you know, people talk about, well, you know, you guys are just in it for sex. Well, I'm in it for relationship. And, mm-hmm. you know, I love the people that I'm with. I take care of the people that I'm with. And this is important to me to do this.
Yeah. And I really value relationships. I like to build my relationships, not just in polyamory, but in all of my communities and my friendships with my family. I really like to be social. But going back to polyamory, I feel like it's important to kind of build those bonds and maybe build those relationships with other people.
Do you participate in any poly groups?
I actually am an admin of a poly group on Facebook.
Okay. And what is the name of that?
It's Poly Idaho Next Generation. You do need to be living in Idaho and age 18 to 35 to join.
Okay. Got that all locked in. And a pretty active group?
Yeah, we are planning a camping trip soon. And that's pretty fun. We did taco night, and things were not so active during COVID, but now that, well, I guess with COVID coming back, we'll see future events, but I guess our activities have picked up this summer.
COVID really slowed down poly as we knew it. I didn't see my girls for over 6 months, 9 months in some cases.
And my goodness, I'm so sorry.
They had households where they had, one of them had COVID running around within their household. And you know, it's just very difficult to keep households separated in the poly world. You know, we're very vigilant about, you know, sexual diseases and things. But now, then you add COVID to it, it gets even more complicated.
Yeah. Yeah, COVID, I definitely didn't do a lot of dating with COVID going on, and a lot of our events, I'm pretty active. I go to a lot of kinky events and poly events, and they have been on hold because of COVID.
Yeah.
But I have online stuff, so like Zooms.
Well, you're all set up for Zooming, so, you know, away you go.
Yeah. I've actually attended some Utah group. They're called Flog. I've attended some of their events online. They're pretty cool cats.
How big are these groups? How many members?
I don't know how big Flog is, but when we do video chats or video like Zoom, I'd say it's about like 30 people.
That's a pretty good size group.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your writing. What will your mother say? What brought this along?
So I was talking to my mom about being into burlesque I wanted to go into burlesque and sex work. And like, she knows that I take pictures and videos and, you know, that I'm very sexual and kinky. And she openly shares her experiences with me. We're very open. And I was a little bit worried. I was like, Mom, I'm kind of worried about doing burlesque because what would you think? And she's like, and this is her exact quote. She said, you could fuck three guys off the Eiffel Tower and I would still love you and be proud of you. And so there's like nothing that I can do that would shame my mother. And I wish everyone had that kind of love.
I wish we all had that kind of mother.
Yeah. She is a honey badger mom. She hates everyone but her kids, and she would do anything for her kids.
That is so awesome.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't have it as easy as that. And trying to explain poly to a very vanilla mother is difficult at best.
Yeah. At one point, I had my girlfriend live with me and my husband, and my mom was just like, all right, so you're gay and you've got another partner. This is fine. It took her adjustment, but like, she still loved me and she still supported me. And if I needed to talk to her about anything, she'd help me out.
I think you need to give advice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your openness in life is so important that you don't have the pressures.
I don't. Like I said, the only entity in my life that doesn't know about me is work. Mm-hmm. And even my friends at work know who I am, but like work in general doesn't know who I am.
And they probably don't need to.
Yeah, it's not their business. It doesn't affect the way I do my job.
The one thing that I really like is to meet with kinky and poly friends, because the subjects are really open and you can discuss anything, as opposed to having my family over for Thanksgiving where we have to limit all kinds of things.
See, I kind of don't have that problem because I go to a family get together and we're just raunchy and kinky. And like my dad, like I said, was the kinkiest motherfucker I knew. When I grew up, like sleeping in his bed, there was like whips and chains and masks on the wall. Like, you know, tons of porn around the house. I came home, there was a tripod in the living room once. You know, so that shit doesn't faze me. Doesn't faze my family. They all know who, they know I'm my father's child. So.
But I don't think that experience ruined you in any way. You seem perfectly adjusted.
Yeah, I thought it was normal. I didn't know anything was wrong.
The average person makes sex dirty.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Not really, because to me, sex is just a natural thing that we do between two consenting adults. So.
Keyword there being consenting adults.
Yeah, consenting adults. Mm-hmm. And what you do in your bedroom as consenting adults, I don't really care. So sex has always been natural for me. I've been like sexual since probably age 7.
7?
Just like making my Barbies. Like I knew what sex was. I was making my Barbies have sex. I was like, I just was a very sexual creature. And I had urges and I didn't know what they were. So like the first time I masturbated, I was probably like 11. You know, and I didn't really understand everything, but I just had urges and just very, I'm a hypersexual person. So,
you know, the problem playing with Barbie and Ken for sex is he doesn't have a dick.
He doesn't have a dick, but I didn't even know what a dick looked like, but I just knew what sex was. And I was like, they're going to have sex.
Uh-huh. There you go. Well, and as I say, you're perfectly well-adjusted person. I wish we were all that way.
I feel like I was very loved by my parents, still very loved by my parents. I just feel like they were very sexual, openly sexual, and they didn't do anything in front of me or anything like that. And I was never abused by my parents. I've never seen my dad naked or like anything like that. But they were just very open about sexuality and always were. And so I was naturally open about sexuality and I don't feel shame about it. I'm not going to put in people's faces who don't want to see it, like vanillas, because that's not right and I didn't get their consent. But I'm not going to stop being who I am.
Growing up, did you get any pressures from school or peers?
No, I didn't get any pressure about it. They didn't know what was going on because I always had sex with guys who didn't go to my school.
Distance.
Yeah, funny story. I remember being in middle school and I took a camera for an art project and it had porn on it for my dad and I got in trouble for it.
Oops.
Oops. Yeah, so that happened and it was funny because my friend, to this day, she was like, "Bet you it's porn." And then she was right. So, but no, I never got any pressures or anything about it because, yeah, I was just a very hypersexual person who had sex with a lot of people not in my school.
Miss Vi, you've been a gem to talk to. You have such a wonderful open life. And I think we could all want to evolve to where you are.
I wish that everyone could be as open as I am and that everyone could receive the love of their parents and that as I am to be open and to be sexual without shame. And I know not everyone has that experience.
How true, how true. Thank you for being with me on the cast tonight. I want to hear the wonderful new things that are coming up in your life in the future.
All right. Well, you have a fantastic night and thanks for having me.
You have been listening to episode 397 of the Kinky Cast. For more information about this show, go to kinkycast.com. Views expressed are not representative of the management of the Kinky Cast. We welcome guests with opposing viewpoints. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of all our kinky crew, I'm Max.